Oh God. Oh my God.
Yeah. And we're only missing one thing.
It wouldn't be a Moonstruck episode without sparkling wine and sugar cubes.
True.
Which Nick got in a like solid brick of sugar cubes.
Yeah, they don't apparently distribute 30 cubes anymore. You have to buy like 120. It's ridiculous.
Well, you can be like John and just have like the Werther's in your pocket, but instead it's just like loose sugar cubes gradually breaking down.
Just start befriending horses all over the place. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Cheers. Happy Moonstruck.
Yeah.
Oh, but also Hornquack is going to be down here this week, apparently.
Oh, nice.
He's taking a vacation. I don't know if he's looked at the weather, but it's going to snow. So that'll be fun for him.
He's going to have a miserable time. Is he having a vacation with his girlfriend, not girlfriend, or is it a solo vacation? Yeah.
Portland is usually the quality of vacation he would bring Sam on.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's like, yeah, we're going to go to Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah.
Have you found any like particularly badass things to do or eat or anything?
Like axe throwing or axe eating or...
Axe eating?
Axe eating, definitely.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah, right. Unicycle throwing, axe eating.
I've found some pretty great restaurants through time left. There was a bar we went to on Wednesday after dinner that had, I got a Goosebumps book at one of those vending machines.
Yes. What kind of Goosebumps book? Tell me about it.
Haunted Mask 2. I'm halfway through it. I can say as an adult, it being almost 30 years since I've read a Goosebumps book. Goosebumps?
They're incredibly horny.
Still so much fun. And I definitely have read this one because I'm like I'm, you know, I mean, one, it's a kid's book, so it's not hard to predict what's going to happen. But I'm like, I definitely remember the concrete soccer ball prank.
Oh, snap. That's rude. I like to ask coworkers and especially apprentices what their favorite Goosebumps book was. I think mine was the Camp Jelly Jam book.
I don't know if I remember that one.
It had like a big blob monster that was like stealing the kids or something at the camp. Yeah.
Camp Jelly Jam.
Twice this week, I needed to ask for help from an adult in my outings in the city. One was to get the Goosebumps book. One was to get the Goosebumps book. I like... bought it.
Was it like, did you have to do it like a claw game?
No, it was just a vending machine and like came out, but the way the flap worked, it was like it had a wedge, so you couldn't like stick your hand like once it was up, you couldn't get your hand in there, but because the book fell like straight down, the wedge would just hit the book and you couldn't actually get it out. So my friend Tiffany and I were like, what the fuck are we going to do? I'm like, I might have to break this thing open. We're going to have to run. But yeah, I asked the bartender and she's like, yeah, this happens a lot.
Our Goosebumps books are always getting jammed. Jelly jammed.
And the other one was at Powell's Books. It was a big book week. They had a copy of Earth X, which I've been looking for Marvel. And it was on a shelf just a little bit higher than I could reach. Like I was
that's exactly what I imagined. I was like, inches, was it too tall?
Just inches away from being able to like touch the bottom of the book. So I went to the help counter and they're like, how can we help you? And I'm like, I need an adult. And then the tallest lady got it for me. And that was hot.
Amazing. That's just another reason for wearing bigger heels. So you should start practicing with stripper heels.
There you go.
Ooh. Big, chunky.
This is about being able to reach things up high.
Yeah, make it weird. Come on, Portland. Just a dude rolling around in stripper heels. Don't worry about it. Business.
I was wearing my high boots. Still too tall.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah.
I like that you got an Amazon to help you, though. Did she then like cradle you and carry you back to the
That's the dream. That really is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, death by snoo snoo, right?
I want a woman who can finish my fights for me, because I, as you know, I talk a lot of shit. I cannot back it up.
Someone who can fold you like laundry and finish your fights. I like it.
I like being tossed around. What?
Yep.
That is probably for the best. That you find someone like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you said, you need somebody who can baby Bjorn you, but as a full ass grown up.
Oh man, that'd be so cool.
Anytime you're a little cranky, you just get put in the baby Bjorn and you're like, ah!
Re-listening to
ourselves.
The podcasts. Re-listening to ourselves. When we were doing whatever our last episode was, that's how much I'm like, this fucking week has sucked. But I re-listened when listening to whatever went up against Con Air, went up against Spirit of Von Johns, I believe, at one point.
Von Johns.
But just talking about, I enjoyed hearing us talk about our various hell vehicles and how I wanted
Hell neck. Every once in a while, I look at something and I'm like, I could Ghost Rider that. I could just like set it on fire and roll down the street with it.
Like, what's the most recent thing you've seen that you thought of?
Oh, I think it was just like a large dog.
Why would you roll the dog? I mean, if it's on fire, I guess it's not going.
I think everything turns into wheels.
Yeah. The feet just turn into big flaming wheels. And it
didn't happen to the horse in the first one.
Yeah, but that's because the first one wasn't as good as the second one.
That is fucking true.
That is really true. Yeah, one I hated and one I thought was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on the dog, different parts would be fiery. Maybe fiery eyes. Maybe just like some little flamey ears.
There's a YouTube channel I watch. I can't remember if it was Nerdstalgic or Captain Midnight, but talked about how like Ghost Rider, there should be like 20 Ghost Rider movies by now, how this franchise really should sell itself. And the only reason it really hasn't is because of Nicolas Cage.
Which is too bad, because that would be the best. I like if we had just three more like captive stories of Nicolas Cage Ghost Ridering out, like, yeah, there doesn't need to be big continuity. Like, Ghost Rider doesn't have some big character arc, right?
Like, not really.
He's just the Ghost Rider.
Yeah. It's kind of like his whole vibe.
Yeah. Standalone films are terrific. It could be like Mad Max, where they could be a very different, like, qualities and stories.
And then, like, arguably one of your best ones could not even be about the title character, and no one went and saw it. And now the franchise is dead again.
My favorite thing about the Mad Max films was always that it was other people telling stories of Max.
Yeah.
So it's like how Max interacts with the greater apocalypse world.
Yeah. Or that it might not even be the same person and just he's become like the Johnny Appleseed of the fucking Outback.
Yeah, exactly. So he's just like a big story and that's fun. And I think it's a great way to excuse like changing the actor whenever you feel like it. Whenever one of them like says something super
exactly gets canceled, like, and it's like, ooh, all right.
It's like, oh, okay. Not even in the apocalypse can you complain about
the anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin Gates is finally out of the cone of shame.
Has he discovered that his balls are missing yet? Has he taken a look down there?
He was aware immediately. I had to take him back for his like 1 week check or his 1 week check yesterday, and he was not happy to be back there. Bad things happen. Bad things happen at the vet.
My dog's never really cared about going back to the vet afterwards. They're fine with it. That's where other dogs are, so they get to smell where all the other dogs are. And then they always come home with cat hair and dog hair all over them.
Like, I notice an absence of balls here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fucking weirdest part, though, Ben, never been a humper. Now that he doesn't have testicles, fucking humping.
Really?
That's weird.
Yeah. No, it was like
I know what I've lost.
I was like getting ready for bed the other night, and he just like fucking cone on, like tried to mount Rosie, and all three of us looked shocked at what was happening. He didn't even seem to know what or why he was doing it.
Yeah. Just like unlocked some deep muscle memory.
Just in denial about the whole thing.
Well, did you guys want to talk about Moonstruck or Raising Arizona first?
I want to talk about in Raising Arizona. Well, here's the movie. I want to talk about how just unhinged that world really is, and how does High exist in it? Like, High is the only normal person in that movie, in that entire like world.
Kind of normal.
Yeah.
I mean, he is very much a larger than life human, the way he hits on the
person taking his officer. His photos. Slapping his butt.
He's a dumb dumb, and he doesn't meet he's, you know, a handsome dummy who doesn't get to meet a lot of people. And, you know, fucking small town.
Yeah, everybody kind of exists in a like a decreased mental like maturity state. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's really ready to be an adult in that film.
Oh, yeah. Like Glenn.
No one on this podcast is ready to be an adult. So let's, you know, not cast aspersions here.
not true. I'm ready to be four adults
in one trench coat.
Yeah, four small adults in a trench coat. Yeah. That's what I've always been. Two of them are Dick.
Those are the two that control the mouth.
Those two also control the mouth. The Dick is the mouth.
Yep. As it is designed.
Yeah. Yeah. You should watch me eat spaghetti.
But no, Sean, I think you do have a good point, though. Like, I mean, High is also over the top, but like everybody in that movie is just like such a caricature. They're so, so wild.
He is the straight man. He is the only person who like really pushes things forward. Like he's really just along for the ride. But even like Ed, her performance, great, but it's just like it's so wild, and like everyone else cages out in this movie, and Cage is kind of the most like just relaxed individual who has no control. He's just there for it. Like, he is our audience surrogate to an extent.
He's definitely the tracks that the train is riding on.
That's exactly it.
But like, it really hit me this time watching it during the chase sequence, because I never tripped on the fact that the grocery store clerk just starts blasting. He's not involved in the chase whatsoever. He just starts shooting off.
He's just like, there's some sort of crime going on here.
Yeah, he's been itching for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, that's the world High exists in.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed rewatching it again. I was watching these on the plane as I was flying to San Diego, and it was just so fun watching this movie. And I love the soundtrack. I love the crazy energy of it. Mm-hmm. It's so like the facial work that Cage does. It's really, really good. It's really fun.
Yeah. I mean, even beyond just Nicolas Cage films, I think this film exists in like a high tier of comedies.
Yeah.
Especially comedies of like the 80s. Where everything was kind of turning towards that like racy comedy, like your Porky's,
yeah, and exactly. Stuff like that.
This elevates. Good job, Coen Brothers.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is such a great comedy. I was re-listening to our conversation with Alex about it, and just like, this is a comedy where no one knows they're in a comedy. Like, everyone kind of plays their character so straight. Even John Goodman, who's probably the most over the top, still kind of plays it pretty straight.
Right, like in the sense that no matter how wild they are, that's normal for the world.
Yeah
It feels natural for all of them to be so much.
I do want to also talk on how this is one of Nicolas Cage's best physical performances. Like, his just physicality and so much of the humor of his character is really just in how he composes himself and how he moves through this world. And like, I think of Nick Cage as an actor. I think of that bombastic, those weird like tics and like vocal performances he does, where he doesn't have a lot of that in this. He has the accent, but so much of High is just his body. And I loved it so much. And it was just so entertaining.
One thing that kind of trips me up about this movie is just knowing that he and the Coens didn't get along. And I really want to know what was like the backbreaker, like what was going on? What was he trying to bring to it that they were like, nah, dude?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard a lot of stories about their process from other films. So I don't know if they are like super rigid, or if
It seems like they have vision usually, and it's like you probably have to fit pretty well into it.
It was pretty early in their career too, though. And after something like what was that first film called?
Blood Simple.
Like that just didn't have as great of a reception as maybe they had hoped.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to control that.
Yeah, have a little more tight grip on it, the entire thing.
I mean, you look at their filmography, you look at the types of movies they have done. I get the feeling that they run a really tight ship. Like what's on the page is on the page, and that's what they're going to film. I can see them not being necessarily open to a lot of wild swings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like Cage at this point in his career was more about wild swings and was more about that kind of like, you know, wild energy and being free and open. And, you know, I think there was some probably more willingness to do improv work at that point in his career versus later.
Well, yeah. Like when we, like with Moonstruck, the other film that this is going up against right now, by the way, welcome back to Cage Match, colon, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host,
Nick.
And our producer, Nick.
Peter, hello. Nice job.
And in this, we are in the Master 8. We're in the comedy section from our bracket, going Moonstruck versus Raising Arizona. Like how we're just talking about it. Peter put that where it belongs in the episode, please.
Exactly here.
I know where it belongs. Right next to my two adult dick.
But like with the other film that we're talking about this week, with Moonstruck, he got hired for that based on his fucking insane performance in Peggy Sue Got Married.
Right.
And Moonstruck and Raising Arizona both came out in 87. So like you have those those much wilder swings of, you know, my hand to just very kind of calm, good old boy.
Yeah, there was a lot of like interconnectivity between these two movies through our bracket, too, because Raising Arizona beat out Peggy Sue Got Married, which got him the role for Moonstruck. It's like this kind of circular, you know, craziness of our own process on this bracket. I also like that we in separate episodes talked about smoking indoors.
Oh, twice.
Also in separate episodes for the different movies, we talked about the movie Splash.
Yeah, incorrectly. I love that every time we talk about mermaids and Splash, we are thinking of the wrong one.
Yeah, it's always Overboard. For some reason, yeah. Overboard with Goldie Hawn comes up a
That's
lot.
That's the one. Let's go watch Overboard.
Yeah, I'll let Josie put it on and I'll just come in and out.
It's a Goldie Hawn cast, yeah.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn cast.
I just remembered, I've been asking people this question, and since it is February and pretty much the season of love now, we've had discussions about vanilla penis, just single penis, and we've talked about two penis.
Are we talking claspers, like sharks again?
Well, it could be claspers, okay. Or like just the concept of like double stackers or side
sure,
by sides.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot more about three dicks, and whether it's like vertical stack, horizontal,
or triangle,
or like some triangle, and then is it triangle one down or two down?
And I think it's like a spaceship gun or something that can rotate.
Oh, you think it rotates like a Gatling gun?
Yeah.
So as you like blast, it's just like whack, 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 new whack, one, whack, new whack, one, new whack. Yeah. Nice. I like that. Yeah. That'd be hard to control. That'd be hard to whack off with. But I guess once you have three dicks, you don't have to whack off anymore. You're made. You've got a whole
you've got
porn
everything
career.
You need.
Yeah. But I like the thought of three side by side, because then they would lay across your sack and down like a cuttlefish. Like the tentacles on it. And then when you fart, they could ripple.
I like that.
Yeah. That's how I think about it.
I fucked up not doing the intro now.
Yeah, exactly. You could just say it again.
Yeah, fucking throw another one out there.
No.
Ah, man, we're in good form.
Just add one more adult between my other two adults down there. I'm now five adults in a trench coat.
I will say, I'm not recording on a Monday immediately after I get off work is definitely helping my energy.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
So, okay, let's keep talking about Raising Arizona for a bit, and then we can pivot over to Moonstruck.
Arizona. Yeah. That kid disappeared after this movie. He never went into acting again.
Oh, Nathan Jr.?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder what his residuals are like. I wonder what a baby makes for a roll. And then what do they make long term for residual checks? Like, that kid probably just gets a check every year.
Probably.
I would assume, based on the fact that they were kind of not well-known directors, and I don't think, I don't know. If that kid gets a check, it's probably less than he can cash at a bank.
I don't know if that's going to be true. I mean, like, Rachel recorded on a Macklemore album, and she's like in one part of one track, and she makes like, I don't know, $30 a year that just comes as a residual check. It's like, I think Raising Arizona has more exposure in a lot of senses, but I don't know. Well, it depends on the contract, but yeah, I mean, we're getting into nitty gritties.
A 2-year-old's not going to negotiate that contract.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully they didn't negotiate their own deal.
On the topic, or I guess off the topic of Nathan Jr., I was talking to my project manager the other day, and we were talking about how we needed Damon Wayans to be our electrical inspector. No, yeah, Damon Wayans. And he's like, yeah, it could be Damon Wayans. And then his brother, Damon Wayans Jr., could come in. And I was like, how do you think juniors work?
Yeah.
Do you think it's like, also,
well, he was the littler one.
What? How would you feel if you were a younger brother and you were named for your brother? Weirdly enough, it's like, oh man, Steve was so good. You're Steve too.
Yeah.
You're just
Steve Jr.
Not new Steve, but you have to live up to the Steve mantle.
Okay. So wait, what we had with Harry, Barry, Gary.
I think Jerry, it was a Larry.
It was a Larry too, Jr.? I think.
Yeah.
Larry.
Yeah.
But like Harry, Larry, Barry, Gary, Jerry. Either way, but and Nathan Jr.
Yeah.
They know where the love is.
Clearly one of those kids was favored.
Yeah.
That tells me they didn't know they were having five kids.
Poor Mrs. Arizona. What was her name? Like Gladys or something?
No, I don't even know.
Must have been the most boring. Like, she just looks like a Gladys or a
Terry.
Constance. Terry.
It's a real fun film. I'm always gonna love watching it. It was a treat listening to all of our
Florence.
Oh, Florence. Oh, yeah. Florence. Obviously, Florence. Yeah.
I was thinking about like my first couple times watching this film, and definitely coming back to it, being so familiar with it now, getting out of feeling like the need, like those initial watches were to critique the film and to like really have to form a strong opinion on the outset. And now just being able to like watch this movie for fun. It's so good. It's just so entertaining. And there's so much heart and character behind the whole thing.
Okay, I figured it out. Florence, Lawrence, Larry. Larry's named for the mom.
There you go.
There we go. Whew. Okay.
Florence, Lawrence, Larry.
We can finally move on. The Larry is short for Lawrence, right?
Sure.
What would it be short for otherwise?
Harold.
Larynx?
Larynx.
Oh, yeah. Stupid fucking larynx.
No, I mean, I love this movie. And Sean, I had the same kind of takeaway. It's like the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't know. Second time I was like, this is a cartoon and I love it. Thanks to you guys. And then since then, it's just like, this is such a fun movie. And watching it on the airplane, like both seat people next to me were watching too. You know, it's like you just got drawn in. Didn't have any audio, but they're just like, yeah, good movie.
You know, I'm going to say, I think Nicolas Cage makes the best airplane movies.
I think you might be right.
You can watch a Nicolas Cage movie on an airplane and somebody's going to be like, fuck yeah, dude, this is exactly how my flight needed to go. Unless it's City of Angels.
The 9/11 movie probably isn't a great one either.
That's a conversation starter.
That's true.
Oh, with aviation nowadays, I don't know if I'd want to watch that on a plane. It's like, I don't, just taking notes. This is bad.
I still want a cut of City of Angels where after he falls, he just speaks like fucking Latin or fucking ancient Sumerian or just speaks some dead language because that's all he knows. It still bugs me that he speaks American English.
I know.
Well,
should have been a Boston cop.
He falls and just has a bad Bostonian accent. He landed on his head.
when we do the game, I'm just going to do Boston cop for everything.
I'm pretty sure most cops were dropped on their head.
There's definitely something wrong with cops.
Yeah.
Well-established theme. So yeah, let's see. Raising Arizona, on its path here to the Master 8, it took out Trapped in Paradise, mm-hmm. which I still think is kind of a low-key banger, but really? Stupid movie. I liked it.
You're wrong. You are fucking definitely wrong.
I've thought about rewatching it. I thought about rewatching it for Christmas. I was going to bring it up and make my parents watch it. But
I think that movie is not as bad as you guys made it out to be. It is definitely bad.
I think... Yeah, I think it just got overshadowed hard. Like, maybe I should rewatch it. I mean, I own it. I don't think I own that one. That's one of the four that I don't have.
Those Furpo boys.
Yeah.
And then it took out Peggy Sue Got Married after that. And then probably its toughest go was The Weatherman, which great movie.
Yeah, terrific.
Going through the comedy bracket, so few of these are like comedies.
Yeah, I mean, he has a couple of those romantic comedies. He has a couple of true comedies, but most of them are just sort of like, I guess there's humor in here. I mean, he's not being just like a somber dude.
Yeah, a little darker character, but still with a har-har.
In terms of like the actual bracket, like in terms of straight up comedies, we have this.
Army of
Trapped
One.
In Paradise. I mean,
yeah. Trapped in Paradise was a comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, Honeymoon in Vegas was a comedy, but it
Honeymoon in
sucked.
Vegas.
Yeah.
I have fond memories of Honeymoon in Vegas.
I just like Roy Bacon, man. That guy with the big fucking teeth.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, I think more and more about how there aren't enough Elvises in my life, and I need to try to find a way to include more of them. Also, I need to get that Elvis suit that I talked about.
Absolutely. That
still sounds like a good idea. Maybe it's like my Thursday night outfit.
Yeah.
Seems like a good investment.
Yeah. Josie will be vacuuming sequins out of all the couches and everything all the time.
Oh my God. We had a friend give Cora these like angel fairy wings or something, and they have all this sparkly shit in them, and it is literally everywhere. Every piece of clothing I have, I look down and there's like one little sparkle. God damn it. You know, I'll go to work and look in the mirror and there's like glitter on my face. I'm like, God.
Yeah, you've been back at those strip clubs.
These wings. Speaking of strip clubs.
Yeah, I'm very all over the place this morning. But so for my birthday, like afterwards, we went to one of the local gentlemen's clubs. And I have never been to a Washington strip club because I think they're stupid. And this was the most terrifying experience of my life. Like, well, not necessarily that. Oh. Like, they are threatening and they are like predators when you go in there. Like, it's a weird, like, all open, big, like, just space with just chairs that you might find at like the VFW, like, set up all over the place. And there are so many women working there. And they're like, as soon as you sit down, one will be there and like, are you ready for a dance? And I'm like, I sat down just now and like, I haven't even gotten my black coffee because I'm not allowed to drink in here. Yeah,
exactly. I need some sort of thrill.
Yeah. And then she'll walk away and then immediately another one shows up and it's like an unending stream. And I'm like, I'm just going to drink my coffee and go. Like, I don't. Also, it's weird drinking a gigantic mug. It was an oversized coffee mug of black coffee, and I'm like, okay, this is maybe this was a strange choice, but I don't drink soda, so it's like,
was it hot coffee?
I love that image of you getting like a dance with
a hot
having
coffee.
To hold this hot coffee out of the way.
Yeah, don't spill it on me. Everyone will regret that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. This is terrible. Amazing.
Yeah. So I, you know, went back, had a couple beers, and then went back in.
There you go. Yeah. Was it more fun then?
No, it was still like it might have been worse because they're like, he came back. It's like, oh, no. I'm sorry here. Just like I'm going to throw
like
15 random
indicator.
Ones all over the place. I was drunk.
Just loose quarters.
Yeah. I had a professor, like my advisor in college, used to always talk about trying to like bring frozen quarters to the strip club so he could bounce them off the stage and try to stick them to the dancer. And I'm like, I don't think that I don't think you're telling me the truth, Scott. Yeah. I think you're just yanking my chain, one of my two chains. But I like to imagine it's true because he was a tall, skinny, nerdy guy with a mustache.
What a dumb idea. Yeah.
So good, though.
Yep.
You guys want to get together and like just baby oil each other and try to
see what we can stick to each
flick
other.
Flick frozen quarters at each other.
Sean, no. You in? Next time you're up?
No. I'm good.
Okay.
Okay. So Raising Arizona, any more final thoughts on it? Anything that you got from re-listening to ourselves or rewatching a fourth/fifth time?
No, I think my favorite part of going back through it all was listening to like you come around to it.
Yeah.
Like you were very much on the fence.
It wasn't that I wanted Trapped in Paradise to win that first time. It's just I didn't get it
right
as much.
Yeah. Yeah. You were still developing an opinion.
Yeah.
And figuring out why you liked it.
That's fair.
One thing I got from re-listening to ourselves talk about it is how I have no original ideas and everything I like made notes about talking about today. I'm like, I've covered that extensively.
I know it's wild listening to us talk about these. Cause you know, obviously each of them, they were many, many months and almost a year apart, you know, between our watches. Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course we said similar things and had similar feelings, but when you stack up a re-listen, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We really lock onto the same ideas.
I will say fucking Smalls's explosion almost as good as an exploding Jessica Biel.
I'm with you on that. That little finale with him trying to get out of the shotgun triggers or whatever the guards are. Yeah, is so good. And then just seeing the boof.
The thing I want from Next right now, though, is I want the one touch that Raising Arizona had with that explosion. I want Next to have, which is after she explodes, I just want a single shoe to fall out of the ground and hit the roof. Yeah.
A baby shoe.
Yeah. Why did he have those baby shoes?
Those were his baby shoes.
And he keeps them as a reminder of his humanity. Like,
well, he was like I'm trying to remember his backstory now. Like, wasn't he like an orphan or
did
something
they give
like
you that much information?
Yeah. It's kind of snuck in there. Yeah. They gave you a story for Leonard.
You know, Leonard tells you he's a hunter of men, but that's about it.
I'm like 99% sure those were his baby shoes because he had a rough upbringing. I don't know if it was in the foster system or if he was an orphan. But I think
I think I'm pretty sure you're making this up.
Yeah, I think you're making it up too, but I also like it.
Yeah, I watched this last night. I don't remember any of this.
Whenever I see him with the two shotguns, I always think of Edward 40 hands and the need to get those off your hands before you explode sometimes.
So I can't remember if I've told this story before, but when I was in high school, we did Edward 40 hands over at my friend Peter's house. And
you had a friend named Peter?
Yeah.
How confusing was it?
Quite.
Okay.
I also have a friend named Peter now.
We're not talking about Pete though, right?
No.
Yeah, he's not a friend.
No, definitely not Pete. And
good thing we only know one Nick.
Yeah,
no, right.
Good thing.
I was the one who taped everyone's 40s on, and then I got mine on, and then I had my second hand. I was like, what am I going to do? I can't tape with a 40 on one hand. And his mom, who was there and took all of our keys that night, was like, I will tape a 40 to your hands.
Nice.
How old were you? Like you said high school. How old were you?
I mean, we were probably, I think it was maybe like a summer between high school and college or college year one. You know, I think
we were like 18,
18, 19. 19? So, I mean, we definitely were drinking underage and come at me, cops. Yeah. And so I just had this memory of her taping a 40 to a underage person's hand and saying, have fun. The trick was wearing pants that you could pull down without having to unbutton anything.
Yeah, sweatpants were key.
Yeah.
So
I got the solution for you. Fucking skirt, dress, just there you go.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I always was a proponent of playing it at the beach because then you could just walk out into the ocean.
Smart.
And just let loose and then walk back in.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
Plus, then you can break the glass on the beach. He just
it just it goes back to being sand eventually.
Stone Cold Steve Austin him right there. It's like, I'm done. Psh. And now you've got glass taped to your hands and you can fight a drifter. Dude, this is a great plan. You guys want to go to the beach?
Let's go to the beach.
I know it's like snowing and shit, but.
All right, let's move on to Moonstruck, because that's an obvious transition.
Yeah.
This is Nick Cage at his most charming. Like, fucking Ronnie is like Nick Cage's most charming character. Full stop.
I don't know if I agree on that front, but he is very, very charming.
Yeah, he has a massive amount of charisma.
Who's more charming than Ronnie Camarelli?
I mean, he's kind of an asshole, but.
Yeah. I think he's got charisma. I don't know if I would say he's charming.
He charmed the pants off Cher.
Literally, yeah.
Well,
take me to the bed. Looking back on this movie, I think the funniest thing listening to our episodes is what you got caught most on, Sean, which is just the timeline. You're just like, I just cannot understand how this could happen in 3 days time or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like every time. Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, yeah, she was trying to marry a guy for
comfort.
Comfort. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's pretty easy to then be like, no.
We looked this up, the age difference between those two. In real life.
Wild.
Oh, it's like 15, 20 years, something like that.
Well, so he was alive. Danny Aiello was alive in like World War II.
Oh, sorry. Between Nicolas Cage, or Johnny and Ronnie.
Yeah. So that's okay. The thing. And then yeah. Nick Cage was born in the 60s.
He's 23 in this movie. I just did the math before we recorded this. He's 23.
Johnny is like
chronically.
48 or 42. Something like that.
Yeah. He's 42. Canonically, like at the kitchen table scene, Ronnie's like, Johnny, you're 42 years old. So there's like a 20 year age gap between characters.
Yeah. I like when we talked about this with Marissa and what we came to at the end of it. It was like, their mom fucks.
Yeah. You know, that was just kind of a thing too. Like, right. Like they didn't
everybody
have
in this movie fucks.
They didn't have good except for Johnny. Johnny, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny definitely does not.
Johnny doesn't fuck. Johnny cucks.
No.
Well, he does get to like sit there and watch in
he
the does. End.
Yeah, he gets cucked for sure.
This movie cracks me up.
It's so
I'm
good.
Sure we've talked about this, but like he just wants a mom. He just wants someone to take care of him. Cause as soon as his mom isn't like, he even says at the end, like you proposed to me. He's like, cause my mom was dying. Like,
yeah.
I love
they've
this
never
movie.
Had sex. I do too.
Oh yeah, no, they definitely had.
No, he's maybe touched a boob once, and then he did that. He did the same thing where he touches the boob, and then he goes
like it's hot.
Yeah, exactly.
I burned my hand on those damn nipples. Meanwhile, Bobo,
Mr. Johnny, longtime bachelor.
Bobo fucks.
You know, yeah, he fucks.
Bobo loves to fuck. He's a hard fucking individual.
I wonder what that guy looked like when he was younger. Probably exactly.
Wasn't
the
it
same.
That? Wasn't he like 13 when they recorded this film?
Bobo?
Yeah.
that's a rough 13. I'm on IMDb. Give me a second.
I used to be on IMDb. My star power was unstoppable.
One day we will be again.
All right. Well, he's not in the top. Bobo isn't in the top cast. Which
yeah, I
disagree.
Mean, Shy Waiter
Robert
is above.
Well.
Wait, Shy Waiter comes in before Bobo.
Before Bobo, yeah.
Than a named character.
He's been in 40 movies.
He has a single picture on IMDb, and it is of him in Moonstruck.
He peaked too early.
Yeah. Why did we get off on that tangent?
I don't know. I just wanted to talk
about Bobo. The
grandma
fucks, Bobo fucks.
Johnny cucks.
Yeah, Moonstruck, watching it again and again and again, it's like every time I watch it, I'm like, I really like this movie. It's very fun. It's very pleasant. The music is enjoyable. It moves at a good clip. Like, the cast is fucking amazing.
I'm going back to Bobo for a second.
Yeah. Bobo it up. Listen, if you want to talk about Bobo, we can talk about Bobo. I will always make space for Bobo.
That actor, I was just like looking at his credits.
What is his name?
Robert Weil. W-E-I-L. Robert Weil is in a movie called The Hudsucker Proxy.
Have you never seen that? That's the Coen Brothers.
I have not.
Dude, it's so good.
I've never heard of this movie. Okay. because I'm just looking at the cast. I'm like, I'm going to go watch this as soon as we get done here. Fucking John Mahoney, Bruce Campbell.
You're going to love that movie. It's yeah. so good.
And Tim Robbins.
Yeah, he invents the hula hoop.
This all tracks. All right. It's I'm fucking so
good.
Excited.
It's very good. Go watch that movie.
Yeah, Bobo's in it.
Ah, yes. Cage Match, where you find out about all the non-Nicolas Cage films you should be watching.
Hey, we've been talking about these same movies for like three fucking... We've been talking about these same movies for almost 3 years. Yeah, we can talk about other shit.
Yeah, it's true.
Has it been 3 years? I've just been locked in this basement.
What is time?
I mean, yeah.
Fucking, honestly, at a certain point, if we can't talk about other things, each episode would be like... So, Raising Arizona? Raising Arizona.
It's good.
See you next week.
Nicolas Cage yeah. and penises. That's all we talk about.
Listen, we know what we're best at.
Yeah.
But yeah, Moonstruck, so its path to here was Honeymoon in Vegas, Guarding Tess, and Army of One.
That's, oh man.
Army of One was maybe the toughest one, and I was surprised by that because...
Because nobody wanted Army of One.
Because nobody picked it. Well, no, I mean...
Oh, in that episode, yeah.
Yeah, because I really thought that was going to be more of a contentious one. I thought I was going to have to tie break. And it ended up being Moonstruck. And, you know, I don't disagree with the assessment, but I was surprised.
Well, yeah. So I definitely love Army of One. But, yeah, Moonstruck is a well-constructed film. And Army of One did have some, like, sags in it.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun. Oh, I love Army of One, man.
I still really was thinking about this. I do think that we need to do some sort of, you know, retrospective after we're done with the actual main bracket and watch a couple of these, you know, like Primal and Army of One again mm-hmm. and Adaptation.
We need Adaptation. We definitely need to rewatch and like talk about again. We yeah. know so much more now. We're so much better at this. Well, we're less bad at it.
We're different at this, at least.
Now, let's not start talking like we're gonna make different choices though.
No, I mean I still kind of stand by what we made.
Oh, 100%. No, I don't want to like do that, but I don't ever want to fucking do two movies per episode for any podcast in the future again.
Never.
But I think going back and like Primal, Adaptation, just like watching some of these movies that got dropped off early for better reasons than others, be fun to go back and actually talk about outside of this setup.
Oh, like in public? Like just watch a movie and then meet up at a park and start talking to strangers? Yeah.
Let's meet at a cemetery. I like that.
Ooh, can we pass out like literature?
Yes.
Just telling people to watch Nicolas Cage films?
I want
to
make a zine.
Yeah, we can go hang out by Pacific Place downtown yeah. next to the guy playing the zither or whatever. Yeah.
And the one talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
We just hand out flyers about Nick Cage.
Yeah. About Primal. Yeah. Great by Jack.
But yeah, Moonstruck. Still so good. Such a great cast. Everything about it.
It fucks. It cucks. It does everything you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I can't remember what our favorite parts of the film was before, but was there anything like that really got you hard this time? I'm always okay. Yeah. Phrasing. But I'm going to stick with it. I still love like the sweeping the table and like Sharon insults him. He's like, oh, I'm not going to take that. Sweeps the fucking drinks off the table and the steak that she made him eat. It's like, I'm taking you to the bedroom. Fucking dumbass voice.
He does. He sounds so stupid in that.
Where are you taking me?
To the bedroom.
To my futon.
I love watching him like cut that steak. Just like
with
fork just kind of crammed between fake fingers and just like sawing at it.
Yeah, he was an absolute animal. He had a wolf in him.
Yeah, I love the wolf.
I love just both their performances. Like, you think of Cher, at least I think of Cher as like the cultural icon she became. So seeing Loretta, seeing this very kind of just matter of fact, just person who's just kind of like giving up on life. She's like, I'm here. I'm going to get married, I guess. But just seeing that. Not the caffeine is dipping quickly.
Go do a bump.
I forgot where I was going with this.
Go put some grounds in your butt.
Yeah, get some instant and just kind of.
Yeah, boof it.
Give me 5 minutes. I can make myself another cup.
Loretta is the like antithesis of Cher. Like,
yeah.
Oh, totally.
Well, okay. So I like how like she's very kind of ho-hum, matter of fact, just like regular. And Nick Cage, she starts down here. Nick Cage starts up here. And by the end, they're kind of both like wild swings in like their personalities. Like by the end, he's kind of a normal dude.
Yeah, he's got manners. He probably always had manners. Yeah.
I mean, he definitely had like culture. He loved opera, that kind of stuff. But yeah. He definitely was very dramatic, you know. I mean, it's like high mood swings and.
Well, he'd been stewing in his own problems for so long.
For sure.
Like he definitely just broods down there. He's in a basement shoveling bread into a hot hole all day.
Thinking about like a scene that really got me this time in a way that I hadn't really noticed before. I can't remember the exact line. I just like watched this scene again. It's right when he gets to their house in the morning, like before the kitchen table scene, where Loretta's mom's like, it's like, your mother's okay. And he just very matter of factly just states that like he like doesn't mean anything to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just very matter of fact, like, it's like, that's good. Doesn't affect me.
I still love how much Chrissy loves Ronnie.
Oh, absolutely.
Chrissy, get me the big knife. I'm going to kill
love
myself.
Him so much. I love that man, and he has no idea.
It's like, what a weird subplot.
Yeah, that never goes anywhere. Nope. It's like it exists for, what, one scene?
Yeah.
And
it's so you know that people want to fuck him. He's in high demand.
Yeah. He's highly charismatic.
He's a wolf.
That there is love that he is not seeing because of his own pain.
Yeah. Mm,
true.
Because he's been brooding in that dark hole, bread.
Hot bread hole.
His hot bread hole.
The dungeon. The bread dungeon.
Shoving loaves in.
Mm-hmm. His bun dungeon.
Well, okay. I mean, I feel like there's nothing else really to say, right?
No, these are both terrific films. Great movies. They're fucking great. Yeah. They have their own merits. I'm glad we got to go through this adventure to get here to these two films.
Yeah, I am so happy with both these films. I love both of these. Like, I will continue to watch both these movies for the rest
there's
of
a
my
time
life.
And place like, for both of them in my life.
Yep.
I could recommend either of these movies to most anyone like who wants to like, you know, give me a written Nicolas Cage recommendation. Like, these are both great. Are we saying what we're voting on? Are we there yet?
Yeah, I think we're ready for that.
I mean, we covered Portland strip clubs versus Seattle strip clubs. We covered Nick being five men in a trench coat.
Yeah, what three else, of them what else are we penis say? Now.
Yeah, right. Three. Right.
You've added one. It was.
Yeah, we added one.
Well, it happened in line. I remember.
Yeah. Is, you know what, Sean?
This is two callbacks in a trench coat.
It's just personal growth. I'm growing as a person. Right. And as a person, I'm growing a third penis.
Yeah.
Who happens to be an adult in a trench coat.
This is the worst goosebumps ever.
This is the worst goosebumps ever. Okay, so Sean, put it on file. What are you saying?
The Raise in Arizona. Both these movies are great, but one of them is... Moonstruck is a Cher movie. Raising Arizona is a Nick Cage movie.
I think that's the best assessment. They're both terrific films, terrific performances, and great casts in both of them. Both of them are stacked casts. But
absolutely.
Raising Arizona is the most Nicolas Cage of the films there. So I agree. Yeah, definitely Raising Arizona.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, I love Moonstruck. I might even love Moonstruck more, but for this purpose, I think... it's got to be Raising Arizona.
Moonstruck is definitely the mature comedy. And I mean, like when our friend Michael heard the pair up, he was like, oh, Moonstruck all the way for me. And I was like, you know what? That absolutely tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's a good film. Like I watch it and I absolutely think like, oh, this is a terrific film. It should always
also,
be.
He's Italian, so he has to like it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Hand talkers.
Yep.
Also, for me, just the big guy in a little room fight scene will always be hilarious. Oh my god,
it's just so good.
So good.
When he drags his knuckles on the popcorn.
Just trying to do the like the Captain Kirk like over the back like slam.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is.
He rakes his knuckles across the popcorn ceilings, which as a child I always looked up at. I'm like, that looks like it hurts.
Yeah.
And just the scream he makes when he does it. I love that movie.
It's so good.
It's terrific.
Also, maybe one of my favorite John Goodman performances.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever nail down like.
You more of a Fred Flintstone?
No, but I'm really loving Righteous Gemstones. Mm,
fair.
And that is Big getting Lebowski. Its fourth season soon. Yeah. Big Lebowski is so good.
He's really good as the ambulance driver in Bringing Out the Dead.
Yeah. I really liked Cloverfield Paradox. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Cloverfield Lane. That's the one he was in.
That was a surprisingly good role.
Yeah. So,
yeah, he's
a very varied actor.
He and Margot Martindale, just like great, great actors.
Yeah.
You just put them in anything, you're like, yeah, nice.
It's like, I'm ready for this. One
of my favorite ongoing jokes from BoJack Horseman was character actress Margot Martindale.
So good.
Yeah, no, fucking great fucking film, which means we have our first final matchup for
we do. Yeah. Welcome to the final foreskin. Hi, McDonough. You are up against Cameron Poe.
Oh, ooh, man.
I know.
I'm going to have to beat myself up over whatever opinion I make on this one. Like, I'm going to hate myself for eliminating either.
Okay. I do have one. There's one more thing about Raising Arizona I noticed on this watch that I never noticed before, and it makes me crack up. Is the final scene when they're an old couple and like you see just the old couple from behind. That's definitely them in just heavy, like in wigs, because that old guy has the biggest back muscles.
Yeah, he's still fit.
It's like Jack LaLanne. It's like,
I know they could have just gotten like old people for a minute.
Yeah, it's so weird because they don't show their faces, they don't give them makeup, it's just from behind. So it just like makes it's just so weird to just see like
yoked old man
just wheel out fucking 1987 Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly.
Still old as fuck.
I can't remember if I told the story last time. You can cut it, but
no, we have to keep it for posterity.
I don't remember when this happened. I got chicken recently. I got chicken the other day, and I was texting with Nick, and we were talking about Star Wars Skeleton Crew and how I actually liked it, despite not really liking child actors or like child protagonists. But I really like these guys, and I was texting with Nick, but also like. Getting text message from the chicken restaurant I was going to pick up food at, and I thought I was responding to Nick with the text, the Stranger Things kids are like over 18 now, that means I can fight them, right? And Nick didn't respond. I looked down and I texted that to the chicken place.
What did they think? Did they agree?
They did not respond.
It's weird that they didn't have opinions on that.
No, I think you mentioned that during our game the other day. So yeah, Nathan's the only one who gets to hear this story twice aside from me.
Nice. Hi, Nathan.
That's right.
That one's for the Sparkle Buddies.
Yeah. He's a cage dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of, thank you for our supporters. And if you're interested in following us on social media, it's cage_match_pod. To our Sparkle Buddies, thank you, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, and Bill. And to our cage dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, Nathan, and Cameron.
Yeah, so if you want to hear Sean tell the same story ad nauseum for the rest of your life, just give us $5 a month.
There you go. Just forever.
You'll get one story in the mail every week.
It'll be the same story every week. Spoken slightly differently.
Sometimes handwritten.
Yeah, there you go. That's the benefit of joining and supporting Cage Match.
This is a lie. We do not give that much.
But anyone who is a cage dancer will, and actually Sparkle Buddies too, will be getting some special shit for our finale. So
neat.
Yeah, we've got that at least.
Special shit. You guys should feel fucking lucky.
Yeah, I made you some things.
Oh, snap. Is it a baby? Are you finally getting rid of some of these babies you've got? You got
but we have
so
to
many.
Divide them.
It's like only one of them's a baby, Nick.
All right. Good episode.
Yeah, yeah. Terrific.
We're great.
We're pretty good.
Bye. Bye.
Corey, did you want to say anything about the movies Moonstruck or Raising Arizona? No.
Yeah.
Well, this is better than you just moaning at the door. So
I got a squirt bottle. I just open the door and like squirt her in the face.
Yeah, that would have probably not worked in this situation.
Probably made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fill the water. So let's see.
Put pepper in the water. That'll won't make that mistake twice.
There you say go.
Put pepper in the water.
Yeah. Just a little hot sauce.
Yeah. Okay.
Right in the eyes. That won't bother anybody.
Just a little homemade mace. That's all.
It's a nice thing.
It's training mace.
Yeah, exactly. You keep it pretty loose. You got to build up that immunity to it, so that when you get a full blast in the face later, you're just like, "Come at me!"
Yeah, so you can fucking protest the pigs downtown.
Give me more.
Come Mayday.
Yeah, exactly.
Get ready. Let's fucking tear it up.
God. All right. So wait. He was 23 when these movies came out, which means he would have been like 21, 22 when they were making these things. Weird.
Yeah, pretty wild to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, what have we done with our lives?
This.
You've had kids.
I've had kids and I've made this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't know we were talking about the positive things we've done with our lives.
Oh, sure. Oh, you want the bad things?
Yeah, clearly kids, this podcast is tops, but I'm still ready to fight a child today. I haven't fought one yet.
Box a toddler.
Yeah.
I believe that was the phrase that came up. I don't remember I why.
Box a toddler. Who cares? Just the fact that the desire exists inside of me is enough